Good evening, Logos family and viewers that are joining us online tonight via Facebook, via YouTube. We welcome you to our Wednesday night Bible study. And our study tonight, Unfaithful Yet Loved Again. For the past several weeks, with the exception, of course, of last week when we had our church business meeting, we began a series called Ordinary Champions. Our first week, we looked at a man named Gideon, a man filled with fear, a man hiding in a wine press, and the Lord calls out to him, "You mighty man of valor." The following week, we looked at Nehemiah, who found out the conditions of Jerusalem, where his home city was in despair, and he beseeches to the king to give him privilege to go and to build the wall. Perhaps you've missed those weeks. If you have, I encourage you to go back and listen to it to recap it. We would miss things that are important, little nuggets that you would want to apply for your own life. But tonight, we're going to look at a man, a prophet. He is a minor prophet. That don't be tripped off by that word minor prophet. It doesn't mean he's less important. It doesn't mean that he doesn't have the value that the major prophets had. It just means the book that speaks of him has lesser chapters than the other books, such as the major prophets Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Jeremiah. And this man that we're going to look at tonight, his name is Hosea. Hosea prophesied just as Isaiah prophesied, just as Daniel prophesied, but his message was entirely different. God used Hosea in a way to speak to his people that was much different than Isaiah. Isaiah saw the throne room of God. Ezekiel, the prophet, saw the valley of dry bones come to life. Daniel, he was given to visions and interpretations of dreams. And then what about Jonah? He saw thousands of people come to the Lord, come to believe in God. Or Zechariah, he saw the flying scrolls. He saw the woman as an angel or with wings, and he saw the tree, the olive trees. These were major prophets that gave major messages, and they spoke, and these messages, or these messages spoke to the people prophetically of what God wanted to say to them. But Hosea had a different calling upon his life. You see, Hosea was going to live out the prophecy. Hosea was going to be a display of what God was speaking to Israel about. And so we enter into the first chapter of Hosea. It says in chapter 1, verse 9, and the Lord said, or excuse me, in 1 verse 2, when the Lord spoke first through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go take yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom, for the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord. Imagine God calling his prophet Hosea to go and find for him a wife of whoredom. In other words, Hosea was told to go and find himself a prostitute as a wife. Let's pause and pray. Father God, we just thank you tonight. We thank you that we could come on the airways and meet together and read your word and learn from your word. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to every listener tonight that is tuned in. Lord, I don't know who tunes in. You do. I don't even get to see the chat as it happens, but God, you do. And so you know who is in need of a word from you. And I pray, Father God, that that rhema word would be spoken through your Holy Spirit in the hearts of your listener tonight. I place myself, God, behind the cross, that you would be glorified in everything that is said and done, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So imagine a prophet being told, go find yourself a prostitute and marry her. Well, Hosea does this and he has children. It sets the tone of this whole book. Not only does he go and find this prostitute as a wife and he obeys what God tells him to do, he also is going to find out that the choices that he makes is a message that God is going to use to speak to his people. God even says to him, look, Hosea, I'm going to even let your children's name be a message to the children of Israel. For instance, his first son was going to be called Jezreel. Jezreel meaning judgment is coming. Then Hosea was going to have a daughter, and this daughter would be called No Mercy. And finally, Hosea's third child would be another boy, and this boy would carry the name Not My People. Imagine being a prophet of God, marrying a prostitute, and your children are called Judgment is coming, No Mercy, Not My People. Those of you that are listening, that are fathers or parents, could you imagine calling out to your child, No Mercy, time for dinner. Judgment is coming, get in the house. I wouldn't come home if somebody called me like that. Judgment is coming, get in the house. I wouldn't know what was coming down the lane. What if you had called your child, Not My People? That child would grow up with a stigma, never feeling accepted, never feeling loved, because every day he was called, Not My People, time to get up. Not My People, come to eat. Not My People, get ready to go and do and this. Not My People. And this was the life of Hosea that we read in chapter 1. Verse 9 confirms this when it says, and the Lord said, call his name Not My People, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. God was giving a message to Israel through Hosea's life, through Hosea's family. He was speaking to Israel. He is speaking to us. And we could find a deep message in here tonight that God is going to just speak to our hearts to bring that encouragement. It's because the whole theme of Hosea speaks of a people that was in rebellion, but God's restoration for that people. We see this in verse 10, because in verse 10, he says, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And in place where it was said to them, you are not my people, it shall be said to them, children of the living God. And so we see the theme of the book, although it is speaking of the rebellion of Israel, and though the theme of the book is highlighting this family who carries such different names, a wife that is a prostitute, God is speaking that in your rebellion, I am coming to bring restoration. So we see a change of events, because we transition from chapter 1, where the theme has been platformed for us, and we have a generalized understanding. Okay, where are we going? This is strange. I have never met a family such as this, a family to be on display such as this. Hosea does exactly as God had commanded, as we know, and they have children. But his wife returns to her lifestyle of prostitution. She had been obviously with Hosea for some years. To have three children, there had to be an X number of years that they spent together. But that monkey was on her shoulder. That monkey towards the old lifestyle, the old things that drew her, the old things that held her captive. And so she went back to that lifestyle of prostitution. She goes out by night and she sins, and she returns in the morning. And what does she find? Some fine wine. She goes out again and she betrays Hosea. And she comes home and she finds gifts of grain. She goes out again on a night in the town from Hosea, and when she comes home, she finds a gift of oil and silver and gold. Again, she goes out. She doesn't stop her prostitution. She's continuing in her adultery against Hosea. Hosea then puts out thorn bushes on the path that she takes, with hopes that if these thorn bushes will prevent her, they will prick her, they will prevent her from living this lifestyle, taking this path that she is on, stopping her from running away. All along, he has been the one that has been giving her gifts. Let's look at the verses that outline this. In Hosea chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, it says, "For their mother has played the whore. She who conceived them has acted shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers who give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. Therefore, I will hedge her way with thorns, and I will build a wall against her so that she cannot find her path." She received these gifts. She didn't even recognize her husband was doing this, all with the right heart, that he wanted to prevent his wife from going and giving of herself to these other allurements. And yet what did she do? She wasted her money for Baal's sake. She wasted what she had received. She didn't even give glory to God for what she had received. No, she didn't even know it was Hosea who had been blessing her each time when she would come home and find the wine and find the grain. Hosea chapter 2, verse 14 says this: "Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. And there I will give her her vineyards and make the valley of Anchor a door of hope." We're going to visit that verse in that verse 15 in just a moment. But if you saw the title of tonight's Bible study, "Unfaithful Yet Loved Again," she would be therefore, he would allure her and bring her into the wilderness. And then jumping down to verse 19, he says, "I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in steadfast and in judgment, in steadfast love and in mercy." What does God do when one continually tries to run away? When one of his children is continually caught up in rebellion and going about life in their own way, he pursues them. He pursues them and shows mercy. Though they are not returning to him, though they are fleeing from him, he is returning them to them with his mercy. He is in exchange of their rebellion, he is coming at them with his mercy. He is coming before them with his love. We see his mercy, his restoration in the face of Hosea's wife. Her name is Gomer. In the face of her rebellion, we see mercy of God coming. We've arrived at chapter 3. And when we see chapter 3, we see Hosea and God, and God says this to him: "And the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn the other gods and love cakes of raisins." Stop right here. What did God ask Hosea to do? He said, go again and love. Go again and love. First of all, this is a God who just asked Hosea to marry a prostitute in chapter 1. And we watch the story as it unfolds. And they have children. And those children don't even speak names of their destiny or their future. Their names don't bring assignments of something that you want to pursue. But rather, they have names of "not my people," judgment, no mercy. Names that would say to you, this child is almost condemned. And And so God is speaking through Hosea's family to us. And the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by what? Another man. Could you imagine God asking Hosea, go again? That had to be humbling. If I was in Hosea's shoes, I would think to myself, God, you asked me to marry a prostitute and I did, and I obeyed. God, you asked me to name my children. Judgment is coming. No mercy. Not my people. And I did, God. I did what you've asked me to do. God, she ran away from me, and I still put the wine out for her. God, you know, she ran again away from me, and I still put grain out for her. God, you know, she just did as she pleased, and I still put the oil and the silver and the gold out for her. And God, you're calling me to love her again. You see, in this moment, we see a transition with Hosea. His love for God had to be greater than his love for Gomer. His love for God had to be so great and so deep and so intimate that he would be able to obey God, because this was a difficult task that he was being asked to do. I'm sure that he was the communication of the city. I'm sure he was the gossip wheel of the city. Could you imagine Hosea when his wife would go out? Perhaps he had moments of humanness. Perhaps he had moments of when he would go to the marketplace to buy he and the kids some food. Perhaps when he would see men, he would wonder, does he know my wife? Has he been with my wife? God says to him, go again and love a woman who has loved another man. What humbling experience, what a humble matter God is asking him to do. But that is our God. Does he not pursue us every week? How about when we go from week to week and we've barely opened our word? We've barely uttered a prayer to him. We've committed adultery with him day in, day out. Oh, how have I committed adultery? How could you say that I've committed adultery? Well, perhaps you've given more attention to your social media than to your God. Perhaps you know your friends better than you know your God. Perhaps you've taken more time in allowing other things to draw your attention, other allurements to absorb your time, than you have given to God himself. In this manner, we've committed adultery with our God, because we've given our attention and our love to another thing, another item, than rather giving it to God. Hosea was called by God. He followed God. His love for God gave him that will, I'm going to obey God. This doesn't make sense. I've been embarrassed time again. My children are embarrassed when I call them in at the end of the day. But I'm going to obey God because I love God. And that obedience gives him the strength to walk out the most difficult task, to go again and to love Gomer, to love this woman who's found herself in the lap of other men. Does your heart, at least mine did, for a moment pause and go, I wonder if Hosea loves Gomer. I wonder if he still loves her. Like, does he even miss her? You know, your wife's been prostituting herself. Does he even miss her? Whatever be the case, whatever be the matters that Hosea had weighed heavy in his heart, he obeyed God. And he goes to the city square as all the slave women are lined up. And there standing in is his wife, Gomer. I'm just painting a picture of what I would imagine it to be. Her face painted that she would draw and entice those that would pass by her whatever type of makeup they would wear of those times. It was so precisely done. Her clothes just laid over her in such a way that any passerby would turn his head. And standing in front of her, Hosea's eyes meet her. Perhaps his heart in that moment sinks as he fixes his gaze upon his wife, knowing that God is asking him to do a difficult thing. And what do we see? The love of God within Hosea compels him. It compels him to redeem his wife. It compels him to redeem her beyond the snickerings that is going on behind his head. Isn't that Hosea? Look at him. He's looking at his wife. Isn't that his wife, Gomer? Isn't she married? Weren't they once upon a time together? What's he doing? What's he going to do? Beyond the snickering of the voices that are behind him, Hosea reaches deep inside his satchel. And he pulls out the money that it will be used to pay for Gomer. He leans over to his mule, and on his mule's back is a very large sack of grain. And he unloads the sack of grain and he puts it down. And he gives this money, 15 pieces of silver and this sack of grain, in exchange for his wife, Gomer. And it says it here in Hosea 3, verse 2. And so I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a letek of barley. First of all, what is a homer? What is a letek of barley? A homer is the equivalent of 6 bushels of barley. A letek is understood to be half of that portion. So what we are understanding here is that he gave perhaps 9 bushels of barley. If a homer is equivalent to approximately 6 bushels of barley and a letek is half of a homer, then he gave approximately 9 bushels of barley. And perhaps we can also come to this conclusion that in that time and in that era, that sack of grain that was equivalent to 9 bushels of barley would have been approximately the value of 15 shekels of silver. Why would I come to that conclusion? If you go back to Leviticus, you would find in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 1 and verse 4, the Lord gave Moses a law that if a man or a woman slave were going to be purchased, that there would be a price. And so let's read it. It says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel and say to them, if anyone makes a special vow to the Lord involving the valuation of persons, if the person is a female, the valuation shall be 30 shekels. So if this value has been put out as a law, that if someone is going to buy a slave and that slave is a female, the price of that slave would be 30 shekels. Hosea bought his wife from her slavery of prostitution for 30 shekels, if we could say in value, 15 shekels of silver, a homer, and a letek of barley. The value that Gomer had given was somewhere in that approximation of 30 pieces of silver. Does that ring a bell to you? Right here in this moment, there's something being prophetically pictured for us. You see, if we were to fast forward in time and we were to go to Matthew chapter 26, we would find that there's a man named Judas. And I'm sure you already in your mind have come to the conclusion of the story of Judas. And it says in verse 14 of Matthew 26, then one of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said, what will you give me if I deliver him over to you? And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him. Judas sold Jesus. He betrayed Jesus for 30 shekels of silver. The value of Jesus was far greater. A matter of fact, according to that same Leviticus law that we read that the Lord gave to Moses, the value of a man between the age of 20 and 60 was 50 pieces of silver, 50 shekels of silver. The value, Jesus was reduced to the value of a prostitute woman. For these men who were buying to know of his whereabouts, they had no value of Christ. They had no value in their heart for what Christ represented. For Judas, who was receiving that money, he had no value in his heart for what Christ had come to do for him. And so he sold him for the same price of a prostitute. And here he was, in that moment, Judas was guilty of a spiritual prostitution. He was willing to just give away anything, give away of himself to these other men, seeking to know where is the Christ, where they wanted to arrest him. You know how the story goes. And Judas was drawn into that allurement. Judas was drawn into that enticement, and he sold for 30 pieces of silver. But we are worth more. God is merciful. What does God do when we are stuck in our rebellion? How is this ordinary champion, Hosea, a picture for us tonight? Well, the story continues. He buys his wife, and it points to us, just as Jesus was sold for those 30 pieces of silver, God sees us as way more valuable. You see, this is what he says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 19. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without a blemish or a spot. You've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. There is no value greater than that. You are worth more. The redemptive price tag that is on you is priceless. The price to redeem you back from your adultery, from your ways of just living your life the way you wanted to, is priceless. It was done with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus sacrificed himself. The Father, Jesus walked in obedience to the Father to the place of death, where he sacrificed himself. Behind him was the scorning voices. If you're the Christ, why don't you bring yourself down from the cross? If you're the Christ, and the scorning voices, the same scorning voices that perhaps Hosea heard as he stood there in the square and sees his wife on that block, and he's about to redeem her back. What's he doing? Why would he redeem her? She's a prostitute. She's giving herself to others. Why would he go and take her back? He's crazy. If you are the Christ, bring yourself down from that cross. If you truly are the Son of God, and the scorning and the poking and the probing that went along, all for 30 pieces of silver. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave. And because he gave his son Jesus gave his life as a sacrifice. That price tag is our redemption. That price tag is Jesus saying, I'll take her back. I'll take him back. It doesn't matter what they've done. It doesn't matter the lifestyle that they live. I'll take him back. So we go back to Gomer and Hosea. If you were Gomer, and you and I are, and you were just purchased for 30 pieces of silver, you've been just purchased out of your slavery. The price, you know, as a Jewish woman, is the price of a slave, 30 pieces. How would you expect to be treated? You know you've just been purchased. How would you expect to be treated as a slave? Because the price paid for you was the price established for a slave, for a slave woman, for a slave man, 50 pieces of silver. But that's not what we see happen with Homer, Hosea and Gomer. That's not what we see take place. Instead, we see this ordinary champion just display himself in love. He says in verse 3, and I said to her, you must dwell as mine for many days. You shall not play the whore or belong to another man. So will I also be to you. You see, Hosea had every right to say, okay, come on, let's go, Gomer. It's time to go back home. You've been gone long enough. The house is a mess. The children have been going crazy. The dishes have piled up. The laundry needs to be done. I just paid the price for you. Get on the donkey. Let's go. We're homeward bound. But instead, Hosea took this approach. He takes her gently by the hand after paying the price. And he leads her and helps her to the mule as she mounts the mule. And he begins the journey home. And while he's on this journey home, he begins to say to her, Gomer, you're greater than that. That lifestyle is not what you've been called to. Gomer, you're worth more than that. Gomer, you know, we're going to go home and we're going to start things brand new. That's the way I would perceive it to happen. But verse 3, we read it. Let's look at it again. And I said to her, you must dwell as mine for many days. You shall not play the whore or belong to another man, so will I also be that to you. Isn't it sweet? Hosea vows to Gomer, Gomer, you're better than that. You're more valuable than that. You mean more to me than you've meant to any of those men. You've been bought with a price. I paid for you, Gomer. But I'm going to be faithful to you, too. I'm going to stand with you, too. Gomer, it's not just you. It's you and me together. I'm going to be faithful. He asked her to live with him as his wife in faithfulness, and he would be faithful to her, too. With her redemption came restoration. She was going to be brought home. She was paid for, but her restoration would take place while she was there in the home with Hosea. Yes, there's consequences. Yes, perhaps their family was the talk of the town. Did you hear? He bought her back. Did you hear? Gomer's back. Let's see how long she'll last this time. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This was a new day for Gomer. The old Gomer had passed away. The new Gomer would come. This new transformation would take place. When God redeems us, even though we may feel like we have no value, even though we may feel like a slave to the old man we were, even though we may feel in bondage to those old ways, God sees us as loved. God sees us as that accepted bride. God sees us as the one that he is bestowing his love and his forgiveness on, his love and his mercy, the one in which his son paid the price. God sees us in an entirely different view than what the world perceives you to see yourself as. Hosea should have felt betrayed. Hosea should have felt unimportant, his wife going and giving attention to other men. He should have felt like she dishonored him. He should have been angry with her. And maybe he did feel all of those things in his humanness, just like any of us would. But instead, he chose to walk the example of Christ. You see, who is Homer? This ordinary champion, he is a picture to you and me of God's mercy. You see, Hosea is a picture of each time Gomer went out, though she did not know was her husband leaving those gifts. She did not know his mercy kept giving gifts, kept putting something out for her when she would return home. He is a picture of Christ who laid himself down for us. He shows us a perfect picture of God's love. He represents God in this redemption story for his wife Gomer. Romans 2 and 4 says this: Do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness was meant to lead you to repentance? You see, Hosea put the gifts out. He continued to show kindness, even though Gomer continued in the error of her ways. Isn't that like you and I? From day to day, we continue in our rebellion. We continue living as we wish, living as we want, the monkey on our shoulder, continue caving into the old man and the desires of our old ways. And yet God continues to lavish his kindness and his love upon us. Why? To draw us to that place of repentance. Come on, Gomer, let's go home. You'll stay with me for many days, and we will be faithful. You're not going to be that horror anymore. I'm going to be faithful to you. You see, what happened is, if we go back to chapter 2, verse 7, and I purposely did not go over these verses earlier, it says this: She shall pursue her loves, but not overtake them. And she shall seek them, but not find them. Then she shall say, I will go and return to my first husband, for it was better for me then than now. You see, the forgiveness of God, the gifts of God, leads us to that place of repentance. You see, the verses just preceding this was when Hosea was telling of what he had done for her, leaving out the wine, leaving out the oil and the gold and the silver, putting the thorns in her path, that she would choose not to go in that path. And yet she had no idea this was her husband doing these things. And then she says, then I will go and return to my first husband, for it was better for me than it is now. What would lead Gomer to accept this redemption? What would lead her to that place of knowing that that redemption was there, to know that what Hosea had done for her in paying that price for her life, to bring her back home? What would lead her to that place of leaving that former lifestyle? The kindness of God, the mercy of God. see God's hopeful expectation for Israel, because Gomer represented Israel. Gomer represents you and me. Israel was in a place of rebellion. They weren't even regarding God. They thought love was something that could be bought. But his hopeful expectation was that ultimately Israel would return to their first love, that they would return to him, and that they would receive his mercy, and that he would be their God, and they would be his people. Hosea 2:14 says this, his desire was this, and we read it earlier. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. And there I will give her her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. What is this valley of Achor? Do you remember the valley of Achor? Well, the valley of Achor was first introduced to us when Joshua and the children of Israel had passed over. And now they had just overtaken the walls of Jericho, and they were not to take the choice things that were of the Lord. They were to leave those things there because they were to be destroyed by God, those devoted things. But instead, Achan took the devoted things and he hid it in amongst his things. And then God was very upset. And when it was found out that Achan had done this, Achan and his sons and his daughters and all of his livestock were brought to what place? The Valley of Achor. And when they were brought there, Achan was stoned to death. What is God saying when he says that I will... And there I will give her her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. He's saying that he is going to take her from those troubles, that place of trouble. Because what does the valley of Achor mean? It means a muddy place, a torpid place, a place of trouble. He's going to take her from her troubles, and he's going to put her into a place of hope. The Valley of Achor represented, I am going to bring you into that promise. The promise followed by problems, triumphs followed by troubles. You see, for every trouble that we're going to face, we know that there will be a triumph, and God was bringing her to that place. It's as if God was saying, in your lowest point, in the most painful times, the times you can't redeem the spoiled potential of your life, the time, the years that you can't take back, the hopes, the buried dreams, the shame, I'm going to turn that time into a new beginning. I'm going to turn that time into a door of hope, Gomer. Who is the hope? Jesus is our door of hope. Who is this ordinary champion, Hosea? He is the one that is living the life of his prophetic call. He is living out what God is wanting to speak to Israel. He is walking in obedience because he greatly loves his God, and he values his obedience, because that obedience leads him into walking in a strength when his very man, that inner person, feels weak for the task that is ahead of him. You want me to marry a prostitute? What? And he gives of his best to her, and then yet to go and redeem her back. These hard things that God had asked him to do. Who is this ordinary champion, Hosea? None other than a picture of God himself, coming to redeem us, coming to show us mercy, coming to say, in your valley of troubles, I'm going to bring you hope. For your shame, I'm going to restore back to you. Don't get discouraged. This ordinary champion didn't only just live out the very prophecy God was declaring over Israel, but he shows in every way that redemptive story that God's exuberant love. God loves you so much That's why it says in John 3:16, God so loved the world. Gomer, as I mentioned earlier, she was a reflection of Israel, which is truly a reflection of us. Israel was adulterous in her ways before their God. She was not living for God, but rather living in rebellion. They were coming out of slavery. They were singing praises and rejoicing over their freedom. And then they would sing the blues because they were caught in the wilderness. And they disobeying God, losing battles, worshiping idols. This was Israel's way of life. Does it sound familiar? We are one day praising God and thanking him for all the goodness that he has done for us. And the next day we're saying, why, God, am I in this black hole again? Why, God, have I found myself in this place again? Why, God, where are you, God? And we are just like those children of Israel. And that is what Gomer was a picture of, constantly running off to the affair, constantly running off to the allurement, constantly being distracted by what seems to be better. It's time we open our eyes to see God's redemptive work in our lives, because he renews everything that is before us. Before that date of purchase, God, when we are bought with that precious blood of Jesus Christ, he renews everything from the date of purchase and prior. How could I say this? Because Joel 2:25 and 27 says this, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord our God, who has dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never again be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and I am the Lord your God, and there is none else. And my people shall never again be put to shame. When Jesus paid the price for your life, everything from that point of redemption and prior to regarding your life was purchased and renewed, and God will restore that back to you. The word restore here is the action of repaying back. God will repay all the years that have been stolen from you. The Hebrew word for that word repay is shalem. Shalem sounds just like the word shalom. It means to be safe in mind and body, or in estate. Figuratively, it means to be made complete. When God comes to restore you and I, and he comes to repay us back for those years that shame has stolen from us, for those years that pain has robbed us from, when he comes to repay us back, it looks like this. We are restored in our mind. We are restored in our body. We are made complete in him. I attended a funeral yesterday of a young woman who had been a victim of just a very troublesome life. She had been raped 5 different occasions. She had suffered terribly because of this. She was seeking to find love, seeking to give love, all because of the way she had been violated by various persons. Searching for love, searching for acceptance, searching for freedom in Christ. This was constantly her pursuit. And she wanted to be made whole. And when Jesus redeemed her, he redeemed her from the past pain. He redeemed her from the past damage that various men or different men had done to her. He took that shame and repaid back to her completeness in him. That is what he does to you and I. That is what he does when he comes and he says, I will pay the price. I don't care about the voices behind me that are heckling, that is the most stupidest thing that has ever been done, but I will pay the price. Hosea obeyed God, and God began his redemptive work in the life of Gomer. Go again. Love a woman who has been loved by another man and is an adulteress. God said the same thing to his son Jesus. Go to a people. Go to a world who is lost. Go to a people that don't know their way. They've been just giving up themselves in sin. And Jesus went. And what happened? God sent his son to redeem us. He wanted his bride to be redeemed. I desire to restore her. I desire to complete her. And what does Romans 8 and 28 say? It says that for those who love God, and for those, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. Did we not see this in the life of Job? Look at Job and all of the troubles that he faced, not because of the sins that he had committed, no, but because God allowed these troubles to come upon him, because Job would be an example to us that when you go through pain, when you go through suffering, when things are suddenly taken from you, I will repay you back. I will bring that completeness back to you. I will restore back to you your mind, your body, your estate. We see this in Job 42, verses 12 and 13. He was restored 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he was blessed more than he was before the storms had hit his life. You see, whether you are a Gomer and living and caught up in sin, or whether you are as Job, facing many troubles, troubles that have robbed you of everything that you had, God's redemptive work is there to repay you back and restore total completeness. We'll wrap it up with these verses. Hosea 2, verses 15 to 23 says this, and there I will give her her vineyards and make the valley of Anchor a door of hope. And there she shall answer in the days of her youth as at the time when she came out of the land of Egypt. And in that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. And no longer will you call me Baal. Remember, I told you, instead of receiving those gifts and knowing who they came from, she went to Baal as their god. For I will remove the names of Baals from her mouth, and they shall be remembered by name no more. And I will make for them a covenant on that day with the beasts of the field, the birds of the heaven, and the creeping things of the ground. And I will abolish the bow, the sword, and the war on the land. And I will make you lie down in safety. See, there is that completeness. When he repays us, when he restores us, there is that completeness. And I will what? Betroth you to me forever. Verse 19. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and in mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. And in that day, what? I will answer, declares the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth, and the earth shall answer the grain and the wine and the oil, and they shall answer Jezreel. And I will sow her for myself in the land, and I will have mercy on no mercy. And I will say to not my people, you are my people. And he shall say, you are my God. This prophet, this ordinary champion, now his family is on display of all that God will do in his restoration, in his great redemptive plan for your life. You see, you were cast off. You were not his people. people. You were lacking in mercy, but now he calls you back to himself. What do we see happening in these verses? Very quickly, verse 15, we see that God restored security and safety, joy and hope. We've seen that in verse 16 that God restored position and dignity. We see that in verse 17, God restored purity. In verse 18, he restored peace. In verse 19, he restored that loving relationship between Gomer and Hosea. And in verse 23, he was restoring compassion and connection. Go to this verse, Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will raise us up that we may live before him. Let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. Who is this ordinary champion? He's a man who displays the love of God. Why? Because verse 3 says, let us know. That word know in the Hebrew is yada. That word, that yada, is a very intimate knowing. That intimate knowing as a man and a woman have with one another. That very close, intimate, woven knowing. Hosea knew God. He knew God in such an intimate way that his love for God compelled him to obey God. And in his compelling to obey God, he redeemed Gomer back. Gomer, that picture of Israel, that picture where God says, you are now my people. I am restoring your security. I'm restoring your safety. I'm restoring your position and your dignity. I'm restoring your purity. I'm restoring the peace. I'm restoring that loving relationship between me and you. I'm restoring the compassion that I once had for you. I'm restoring the connection. A God who has torn us to heal us, struck us down to what? Bind us up. Why? To revive us to new life. To raise us up so that we may live and press on with him. Who are you tonight? Who are you? You see, we all want to be a homer. We all want to point others to Christ, but sometimes we're found to be gomers. I said homer, I meant Hosea. We're all wanting to be Hosea. We want to point others to Christ. We want them to know God. We want them to know of his love and the great price that he paid in sending forth his son. But so often we are found to be goers. So often we are found to be caught up in the allurement and the enticements of this world. So often we are found committing adultery on our Savior and our God. Oh, but the redemption story is found in this ordinary man, Hosea. He portrays to us the love of God. And we who have been found unfaithful are loved again and again and again. His love for you is everlasting. The price he paid for you is priceless. You are more valuable to God than any allurement and any price tag. You will pay for that allurement. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this example in Hosea. We thank you, God, for that price that you paid in sending forth your son to sacrifice his love on the cross, to display his life before all men of how much he loved us, enough to die for us, oh God. And yet time and time again, we are found to be gomers, going about our lives, living our own way in our own how. Lord, would you redeem us as you redeemed Gomer? Would you redeem us with that priceless gift of your blood that was shed on the cross? Would you redeem us and repay, restore our body, our mind to that place of completeness in you. Tonight, God, for whoever is listening, I don't know what life they are caught in, but would you complete them in you? Would you restore them in you, oh God? And when you heal their past, their shame, and their pain, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray that you would be exalted, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we will be back next week, but before that, Sunday morning, we will be here on Facebook Live and on YouTube. You can even join us on our website and watch right from our website platform. I don't know which means you are using tonight to watch, but whatever be your means, we will be here for you, waiting to see you, waiting to share with you. Join us Sunday morning at 10 a.m. live. We look forward to that. And hey, we've got something special happening next week in our church parking lot. So stay tuned to our website. You can register and join in that fun event. And we'll be back in live services July 4th, but you will need to register. So all this information can be found on our website. If you will stay tuned to our website, it will lead you and guide you as to what you need to do. Until next Wednesday, God bless you. Stay well. We'll see you soon. Bye for now.